Our portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Ephesus. Two different portions from chapters 2 and chapter 4. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What many people want is a sense of belonging. We all want to belong to something, whether it's a sports team, or a family, a group of friends, a company, a congregation, or whatever. We all want to belong. Now, a big topic in politics right now, if you've been following the news in any sort of capacity, a big topic is what to do with the refugees from Syria. Should we let them into our country or not because of the threat of ISIS infiltrating their ranks and coming into our country and posing a danger to our own citizens? It's a big topic, and we're not going to get into the politics of the matter, but their situation reminds me of people who are foreigners and aliens. They are often separated from their family, without a home, without many possessions, without really a country to call home. They don't really belong anywhere. They're foreigners. They're aliens. Just like you and I were at one point. We were foreigners and aliens to God. We were hostile to God. We didn't know God. We didn't know his word. We didn't know what his son has done to us. We were born into sin. Children not of God, but children of the devil. Completely spiritually dead, so we were unable to do anything spiritually, especially contribute any way to our eternal life. Now, as far as I know, no one here is of Jewish descent. You're not part of God's chosen people. You're not children of God by nature. You're not part of God's chosen people. As Gentiles, that is non-Jews, we are a people who by nature are without citizenship, foreigners and strangers and aliens to God. That's why Paul says a few verses before in chapter 2, we were without hope and without God in the world. That's what we all were. But that's not who we are now. No, Paul says in verse 19, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. Because of the work of Christ, we are no longer foreigners and aliens. We're no longer strangers to God. Through the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross, he has reconciled us or brought us back to God. Because he credited his perfect life to us. Because he shed his blood on the cross and paid for our sins and took away our sins and suffered through the eternal punishment that we deserve. He restored us to a right relationship with our Creator. Our judge, when he judges us on the last day, no longer sees us as foreigners, as aliens, as sinners who are hostile to him. He sees us as his own, pure, holy, and righteous, and declares us not guilty. And so, we are now citizens in the kingdom of God. Christ is our king. Now, Christ will certainly rule over us in heaven as he rules for eternity. And it is true that he rules over his entire creation as everything was put under his feet at his ascension, but he still rules us in another way. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, he told Pilate. Christ's kingdom is found within us. Because through faith, he rules in each and every one of our hearts. We have a king, Christ, who rules in our hearts through faith. He cares for us deeply and never takes advantage of us or mistreats us, as many kings have throughout the history of this world. We are now citizens of his kingdom. And we are also citizens of this great country, and you love this great country. And while you feel some sort of connection with all citizens of the United States, you don't see eye to eye. It's not as if we're all united. There are differences we have with many people in this country. That's because our worldview, our goals in this life, differs than many others. That's not the case with being citizens of God's kingdom. We are united in Christ. And to show how united we are, Paul uses other different pictures to describe how we are united. Together, we make up God's house. You are one brick that makes up the house of God. The foundation of this house is the apostles and the prophets, those who wrote down the very word of God. Christ himself is the cornerstone, the main stone. Without the cornerstone, there is no building. There is no church. And these bricks, these believers, are being fitted perfectly together by a master architect the exact way that the Lord wants. As Paul says, in Christ the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, the inner part of the sanctuary, the temple of God, is the Holy of Holies. There in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord dwelled on top of that Ark. That is where the Lord dwelled among his people. The word used for temple here is a reference to that place in the Holy of Holies. God dwells inside of you. He doesn't need a temple to dwell among his people because he dwells inside of you as you are the temple of the Lord. And notice what is being done to this temple. It's still being built. There are more bricks to be laid. There's more parts. There's more wings to this church. God is adding to this church day in and day out. It's an ongoing construction project. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit works faith into people's hearts, and he adds more and more to his temple each and every day. And the same means by which he builds up this temple is the same means that he restores and repairs his temple. Like you often have to do with old buildings, you have to do some upkeep so it doesn't fall into disrepair. The same thing is with our faith. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith and keeps us as part of his holy temple. There's yet another picture that Paul uses to describe how we are together, one in Christ. It says we are members of God's household. Not just citizens of a country, not just a brick that makes up the temple of the Lord, but you are God's own child. Through the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit welcomed you into his family as he washed away your sins and brought you to faith in your one and only Savior. He adopted you as His very own, and now we are heirs of God who inherit His gift of salvation. We are part of a close-knit family brought together by the blood of Christ. All Christians are part of this family. Now, of course, not every family member gets along with each other. There are fights, there are disagreements. We argue with each other all the time, and we don't exactly see eye to eye. And sadly, that's the same thing it is with the body of Christ, with the family of Christ. All Christians are part of this family, but we don't see eye to eye because of sin. All Christians, whether they're Wells Lutherans or other Lutherans, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their one and only Savior, whether it be Catholics or Baptists or Methodists, are part of this togetherness, are part of God's family. And so we don't exactly see eye to eye, and there are disagreements like there is with any family. Now, as close as you are to your family, there is someone else you're closer with. Yourself. You can't get closer to anyone except for yourself. Which brings us to the fourth and final picture that Paul uses in chapter 4. That of a body. How together we make up one body in Christ. He says, "We will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Now, each part of a body has a job to do. The eyes are for seeing, the ears are for hearing, and so on, right? And the head, the brain, is the head of everything. It runs everything. And so it is with the body of Christ. We are members of this body, parts, individual parts of the body with Christ, with Him as the head. And we all have different gifts and abilities. And we all have different jobs, keeping in line with those gifts and abilities. Maybe for some, they have a gift of being able to share the message of Christ and tell others about their Savior. Perhaps others would rather work behind the scenes. Maybe some are good with working with children, and there are others who are good at working with the elderly. There are some who love to volunteer behind the scenes, and there are others who like to lead. There are some who have been given great material gifts and are able to give those gifts to the poor of the church, and there are others who are great with working with finance. We can go on and on. We each have been given different gifts and abilities from the Lord, and we use those gifts and abilities of the Lord for the service of His church and the spread of the gospel. And remember how the building of Christ, the temple of God, is still under construction? The same thing was said about the body of Christ. It builds itself up. In the present, we are still building up the body of Christ. Again, that is done by the gospel. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit builds up His body. He builds up the temple of the Lord as He works faith into everyone's heart. And that is why Paul mentions that we speak the truth in love. Although we have different gifts and abilities and different jobs to do according to those gifts and abilities, it is still the job of every Christian to share our faith with those we come in contact with, to tell them about the Savior of the entire world, how He suffered and died to remove the sins of all people. We do this out of love. Out of love and concern for their eternal well-being, we tell others about their Savior. But sadly, that is a job we often fail to do. It's a job we often want to pass on to others. And for whatever reason, we make excuses. We just want to keep our mouth shut. We We are afraid of how someone might react. We don't want to put ourselves out there. Or we say, what if I say the wrong things and mess up? Now, it's true that some people are more gifted and have more abilities in this case than others, but that doesn't excuse us from doing our work. It is something we should work on, something that we pray about. And even if it's something we can't necessarily be good at, there are still many opportunities that we have to spread the gospel or to use our gifts and abilities for the spread of the gospel. But again, sadly, that's something we often fail to do. And what happens when a body part doesn't do its job or doesn't do it correctly? When I was in my second year at the seminary, I was playing basketball and I was on a fast break and I jumped up for a layup and I felt something tear in my knee. I played through it and tried to put up with it, tough it out for the next couple weeks. But it ended up tearing my medial meniscus in my left knee. Not a big deal. But eventually, because of the pain and I couldn't really do much, I ended up having surgery. Now, meniscus is, it's a crescent-shaped piece of cartilage. It kind of serves as a shock absorber for the knee. It's a small little body part. Seemingly insignificant, but it does have a purpose. And when I hurt that, the rest of my body suffered and it couldn't do everything I wanted to do. So it is with the body of Christ. Everyone, from the latest to the youngest to the oldest, from the least to the greatest, has a job to do. And no matter how small or seemingly insignificant that job is, it is important to the rest of the body of Christ. And when we don't do our part, then the rest of the body suffers. And so, since the body of Christ dwells and lives by the gospel, we want to do all we can to spread the gospel ourselves and to work together to spread the gospel elsewhere so that others may be brought to faith and join this body of Christ. As Paul tells the Romans, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it into proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We work together using our gifts and abilities to spread of the gospel. And we have a great opportunity to do this as members of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Now, together with all Christians, we are perfectly united, one in Christ. Now, there are disagreements because of sin. We are members of one body, citizens of God's kingdom, members of his household. And if that's the case with people we have disagreements with, how much more and greater is that the case with members of our own synod? That term synod means walking together. That is what we do as a synod. With 400,000 other people, we are one in Christ. Perfectly united in teaching and practice. And through the synod, we are able to accomplish things we can't do as individuals or as together as a congregation. We are somewhat limited. We can only share the gospel with those we come in contact with. But together as a synod, we are able to train future pastors and teachers for the work of the gospel. We are able to start new congregations throughout the country, to send missionaries throughout the world to tell others about their Savior in Jesus Christ, in many instances starting brand new church bodies in those foreign countries. Together we work together to fulfill the great commission of making disciples of all nations. Now, a portion of your offerings already go to support the work, this gospel ministry of the synod. Today, we have a special opportunity to give another offering to the synod on top of our regular offerings to release us from some of the debts that we have accumulated so we can focus some of our money on sending more missionaries out into the world and starting new congregations throughout the United States so that more people may hear the gospel and the body of Christ may be built up. So let us give generously and willingly to this special work, keeping in mind who you were and who you are. You were a foreigner and alien to God. But now, you are a citizen in God's kingdom with Christ as our King. You are a part of the temple of God as He dwells in your heart through faith. You are a member of His household as you were brought to faith through the waters of baptism. You are part of the body of Christ with He as the head. You belong to Christ. You are His through faith, through the gospel. You have a sense of belonging, united together as Christ the King. So let us work together to spread the gospel, so that one in Christ will be built up under one body with Christ as the head. And many more will join us, living under the King in His heavenly kingdom forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.